Gun-hating billionaires and Hollywood elites are manipulating and exploiting children as part of their plan to destroy the Second Amendment and strip us of our right to defend ourselves and our loved ones. That was the National Rifle Association's reaction to the March for Our Lives rallies across the United States, calling for a ban on assault rifles and reforms in gun laws. A movement that sprung from the killing of 17 people at a Parkland, Florida school has mushroomed into a call by American youth for something to be done about gun violence. Join me, Wakaruzu, as we discuss the rallies, the NRA's reaction, all in the context of the Second Amendment.
Thousands of demonstrators have taken to the streets of several U.S. cities, including Washington, D.C., to express their discontent with lax gun laws. Students in the city of Parkland, which was the scene of a deadly shooting in February, used silence as a weapon against mass shootings at schools and colleges. Expressing solidarity with the massive crowds rallying across the U.S., people in different European countries have also hit the streets to condemn fatal shootings, which have become a frighteningly frequent phenomenon in America.
This march is important because every child has the right to be safe at school, and every parent has the right to send their kids to school and expect them to come home walking through the door and not in an ambulance or worse.
The protests aim to convince U.S. lawmakers to enact stricter gun laws and break a legislative gridlock that has long stymied efforts to increase restrictions on firearm sales. But such measures are fiercely opposed by the National Rifle Association, which has time and again enjoyed the U.S. president's unflinching support.
I will not let you down. Remember that. I will not let you down.
Facing growing criticism of his negligence to prevent gun-related deaths, Donald Trump came up with a dumbfounding idea last month. He proposed to arm teachers to deter school shootings. The controversial idea drew little support from educators and students alike. Large numbers of people are killed each year as a result of gun violence in the United States, and the recent surge in shootings has revived the public debate on the need to revive U.S. gun controls. But for now, supporters of stricter gun laws are facing an uphill battle to convince a Republican-controlled Congress, influenced by powerful gun lobbies, to pass legislation that would protect people's lives in the U.S.
Our guests for tonight's discussion are joining us live from Cincinnati is Brad Blankenship, who is a political analyst, and also joining us live from Richmond is Frederick Peterson, and he is a congressional defense policy advisor. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Frederick, I'll start with you. What kind of a message do you think that these March for Our Lives rallies sent to politicians and the NRA?
Well, I think there certainly are legitimate victims of the terrible violence that happened in Parkland at a high school in the United States in Florida. What is really sad and most disturbing to see is the exploitation of victims and exploitation of very naive students in order to play a tune of sentimentality organized and paid for by a hard left in this country that has been manipulating for the abridgment and actually abolition of the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States that guarantees the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Of all of the amendments, close to 30 we have of the U.S. Constitution, this was considered so high in priority, it ranks number two. It is the Second Amendment. It is essential to preserve liberty, and what is being done is a manipulation of these tragic victims and of very naive students in order to overturn the rights that are inherent to liberty in the United States, and in fact rights that should be enjoyed throughout the world. There would be far less tyranny if there were far more rights of the people to resist that tyranny. What is ignored, flat out ignored, is cities like Chicago, take one, where in one weekend, more people, more innocents are killed, blacks, shall we say, citizens, killed by illegal guns and violence, and you don't hear a word. There were organizations planning and plotting the exploitation of these children that had buses arranged and signs printed mere hours after the violence in Parkland. This is a manipulation. It has to be resisted. It has to be rejected. And the rights of the people to keep and bear arms must be reinforced.
Okay, so Frederick, let me just come in here. I wanted to get Brad in on this. Brad, how do you react to that? Do you think that these students were exploited?
Yes, sir.
And do you think that all of this is a threat to the Second Amendment?
Not at all. I mean, the movement has been led from the beginning by students. The face of this movement is a child, frankly, who was at this, who lost friends, who lost his peers. And to say that this has been, that this is some type of conspiracy by the far left is absurd in my opinion, because these people actually went through this. They have every right to organize around this and to do this. For example, in Cincinnati, people braved the cold yesterday in basically a blizzard. You had people from all different age groups, all different racial groups, gender groups coming together as a grassroots movement to march for sensible gun legislation. The fact that more children have died from gun violence since 2012 than soldiers have died in Iraq and Afghanistan since 9/11 tells you something, that there needs to be a sensible change in this country. I think truly, you know, things like the Trump administration is doing some things good. Jeff Sessions is saying that they are going to ban bump stocks, something that Stephen Paddock used in Las Vegas to kill hundreds and injure 700 people. This is a good start, and even Trump himself called out congressional members of his own party for being beholden to the NRA, which nobody can doubt at this point. They make a lot of money selling guns to people, and they profit directly from these massacres. But I think that it comes down to something deeper. You have so many young kids that have so much angst towards society that they're not only willing to kill other people, but at this point, you know, when you are willing to kill this many people, it's basically suicide. People have so much angst over what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And speaking as somebody from the millennial generation, I think it has to do with the fact that our generation, we are living at a lower standard of living than our parents' generation. We're facing so many problems materially and economically that it creates this angst where people feel disenfranchised from the world. And this has to do with the inherent inequalities in American society. And this should be the general aim of what we should be seeking to abolish. If you want to solve gun violence, people always say that has to do with the breakdown of the family. Why are families breaking down? Why are people becoming divisive? Because there is these inherent inequalities.
Okay,
the gentleman also mentioned black-on-black crime in
Chicago. I just wanted to come in here, and I want to pick up, Brad, on your mention of sensible gun law reforms. I'm obviously paraphrasing what you said, and I want to put that to Frederick. Frederick, I'm glad that Brad used that word sensible, because, you know, certainly we can all agree that if we use some rational thoughts here, we can reform gun laws as they stand right now in the United States, as these students want, can't we?
Well, the subtext of that is as these students want, and these students are being fed lines to say with pre-printed signs that the students did not design. Their organizers, Svengali-like behind them, are manipulating them. I will continue to reiterate that. Your other guest talks about a bump stock. I'll ask your other guest if he has ever fired a firearm. Chances are very likely no, he never has, and has an utter unfamiliarity with them, because a buck is a gimmick. It does not produce an aimed round. Your other guest cannot contend with that whatsoever. It produces erratic spray of fire, which can be done by many means. It has nothing to do with a bump stock, but if banning a bump stock is something that is so important, given the deep and fervent knowledge that he has of guns and how they work and what gun control is all about, I will say that, yes, there are reasonable controls on the use and the legitimate ownership of firearms. Those controls are largely in effect now. Automatic weapons are banned from the general population unless a special investigation and a special licensure is issued. Deep investigation. You cannot have a concealed carry, and this is another thing, unless you have background checks. You cannot sell weapons, and incidentally, your other guest should know, in his massive knowledge of things, being a millennial, the NRA does not sell guns. It has nothing to do with the sale of guns. It has to do with the protection of rights, of constitutional rights on the part of their members, on a part of the American citizens, on the part of securing and maintaining liberty for the American public. These rights, we would say, in the NRA, if you ask them, will say, are generally human rights. The right to self-defense belongs to everyone, regardless right. of where they are. But these rights are written in as fundamental, number two in priority in the Constitution of the United
okay.
States.
Okay, Brad,
so,
I'll
yes,
give you a chance to respond.
If you
just allow me to come
those
here, Frederick, I want to give Brad the chance to respond. Brad, again, I wanted to again
sure.
go back to that question I put to you earlier, Brad, about this: is this an attack on the Second Amendment? Because I know, and you probably know this better than I do, that many Americans are very sensitive about the Second Amendment.
Absolutely. Well, first, I'd like to respond to what Frederick said. I mean, I live in Kentucky. My grandfather took me hunting every fall. I've shot many guns. My father has a concealed carry license. I'm very familiar with this. But everybody knows that a bump stock turns a semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic rifle. I mean, it would be absurd for me to explain to all the guests here watching this the exact mechanics of this, but I encourage you to look it up on YouTube or something, and you can find this very easily. It's not rocket science. But to answer your question, no, it's not at all. The NRA has itself launched more attacks on the Second Amendment than anybody else possibly could. They have, like every other right in this country, there is certain social capital which allows you to have greater access to these rights. And the Second Amendment is just the same. The NRA lobbied to disenfranchise and disarm black activists, the Black Panther Party. Ronald Reagan himself, when he was the governor of California, disarmed blacks. Richard Nixon was in favor of this. In fact, Richard Nixon committed a political assassination against the Black Panther Party, which was a militant activist party during the 1960s, his first year in power. So this is absurd. The only people who are in favor of restricting freedoms on the Second Amendment is the reactionary people who want to arm themselves and disenfranchise others. I mean, that's the exact problem with this self-defense argument, is that we have right-wing paramilitaries, for example, that are patrolling the border with weapons to round up people coming from Mexico. But then when black people try to arm themselves and defend themselves from this invading army of police that are brutalizing their communities, they're violently put down by state authorities in collusion with federal authorities. This is the exact reason why the FBI, which is so inept that they can't track down terrorists, they were created to disarm the left, to disenfranchise black militant movements, and that's the reason they were started. So it's absurd. The government has been colluding with the reactionaries to disarm the left, disarm blacks, and things like this. So no, nobody's attacking the Second Amendment. We just want people to stop dying en masse. It's really not that hard. But I will elaborate more on what I said before. They want to use this argument all the time. They say it's a breakdown of morality, and you know, people like Tucker Carlson say that it's a gender issue, it's this and that, it's a racial issue, and these snowflake liberals are just afraid of guns. It has nothing to do with that. And if you really want to help people, you know, you want to make the mental health argument, why don't we stop what actually creates crime? And that's poverty. That's the massive inequality in this country. If you want, for example, if you want to arm teachers, why don't you start by paying them more? There's teachers on strike all over the country. There's, where I live in Kentucky, there's teachers that are marching on the Capitol because their benefits are being cut. And our Republican governor, who is very pro-Second Amendment, goes out here and calls them deranged, saying that they are whining and they should just do more. But you want them to take classes to learn how to use a firearm. Why don't you pay them more if that's really what you want? And this all comes down, I think, to material conditions that we as millennials face.
Right.
We are facing stagnating wages, rising inequality. We have a terrible job market compared to what our parents and their parents had. And this all needs to be addressed.
Okay.
So I think we can compromise with that, have sensible gun reform, and you make concessions with that on
okay.
that front.
Frederick, I wanted to hone in on a couple of things that Brad there said, specifically about what something many people have mentioned, is that is the fact that there is this double standard when it comes to the people of color, their communities, and them having guns versus others. And secondly, about the Brad's mentioned inequality now in America twice, I wanted you to address that as well.
Well, I'll tell you, if we were in the old Soviet Union, this conversation, one half of the conversation that I'm hearing, would be called disinformatia, disinformation, born either of intention or of ignorance, a fundamental ignorance, in spite of the fact that he might have hunted with his dad as a child. I think it's time to go back to Kentucky and grab your rifle and go out into the woods and listen to what your dad might have to say about this. To say that the NRA is against the Second Amendment because it advocates law enforcement against self-declared revolutionary terrorists.
When right-wing people say that we deserve guns to fight against a government of tyranny, you don't call that revolutionary?
Excuse
you don't
me,
call
I didn't
that
interrupt
insurrectionary?
You. Did I interrupt you? Did I interrupt
but
you?
But Frederick, with due respect, Frederick, Brad's making a good
Thank
point.
You for not
Frederick, if
no,
I may come in here,
you
Frederick,
talk.
Because Brad made a good point. Brad did bring up the fact that we have right-wing paramilitaries
sure.
in the United States, right-wing groups going up who are
armed.
And
he himself said that. He himself said that they deserve guns to fight against tyranny.
So how does that work then, Frederick? Why do the right-wingers have guns and, for example, the African-Americans don't or shouldn't?
African Americans do. To put this in a racial context, there are thousands upon thousands of African American, good patriotic African Americans. I don't care what the color is. I could care less what the color is, who serve in the military, who serve our government, who serve our people in schools as and serve as police officers and firefighters and emergency responders throughout this country, and who are also thousands upon thousands members of the NRA. Your good guest, millennial genius that he is, has not addressed one word about the murder rate in Chicago, which is overwhelmingly dead black Americans shot by guns, illegally held, illegally maintained, without a murmur, without a peep, without a protest march, organized and cultivated for political reasons from his side of the fence. Disinformatia, that's what I say. They spread disinformatia in order to achieve political ends. Those political ends are to deprive Americans of their constitutional rights.
Okay, Brad, I'll give you a chance to respond. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Frederick, if you like to look at a map, you would know that Chicago is very close in proximity to Indiana, and many people go over to Indiana to easily purchase a gun and come back to Chicago. I mean, that goes without saying. And I definitely addressed that point, and I said that the main antagonistic thing that creates crime is poverty. Chicago has so much poverty. Blacks are disenfranchised economically. They form gangs. They do this to survive, to get money. That's what people do. They are desperate and they need a way to feed their families. I think maybe you would do the same. I have no idea. But people do this out of economic necessity, and they join gangs, and this is what happens. I would really like for you to explain that to me. Do you think that race is somehow a priori to this type of violence? No, it has to do with the material conditions in Chicago. This is exactly what it is. to disqualify all of this.
You completely obfuscate
the history of the NRA, history of our federal institutions, which have disenfranchised left-wing groups and people who are law-abiding citizens. And even listen to what you said beginning this about people of color with guns. You began it with people in the military and people that wear a badge. And if you think that these people have to serve the interests of the United States government, of the current racial and class hierarchy, and that's your qualification for a black person that can have a gun, then I think that proves my point, that people are only allowed to have guns in this country if they serve class and racial power.
Frederick, did you want to respond? Go ahead.
Once again, a hearty helping of disinformatia. In fact, it even is worse than that. It's not even obviously listening to what is being said, and either an inability or an intention to misrepresent what is being said. Talking about and justifying crime causing murder and mayhem within the black community because there is poverty that is being exploited in the black community is, where is your
I'm not
protest?
Excusing it. I'm saying
where
that's the reality. That's what happens. This is behavior. People steal when they're starving.
That. Instead,
people commit crimes when they need money, when they can't get it legally.
Let me know when you're done.
No, I'm just telling you the reality,
and I'm
just telling you exactly what's going
on here. You justify robbery.
I'm not justifying anything. I'm telling you that people commit crimes to make money. People need to survive. People have every right to stand on their feet and not die on their backs.
So you're justifying dead blacks in Chicago because they are poor dead blacks, and that somehow makes it all right for you? Really? Go back to your dad's knee and learn a lesson both in how to keep and bear arms and how to keep and bear a coherent thought and a moral principle.
Okay, gentlemen, I do apologize for doing this. Unfortunately, the clock has gotten the best of us.
God help us.
I will ask for this conversation to continue at a later date, and we do, of course, appreciate both of your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was Brad Blankenship, political analyst, who was speaking to us live from Cincinnati, and we were also joined by Frederick Peterson, Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, and he had been speaking to us live from Richmond. And, of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.